This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Melissa Idris. I've got Julian Ng and Kusu Chong here with me. You're listening to The Morning Run. 7:45 right now. In about 20 minutes or so, I'll be speaking to Dato' Alex Ding, the Group Managing Director of the Integrated Poultry Farming Company, DBE Gurney Resources. Now, quite an interesting time for DBE because they've been loss-making for the longest time. But last year, they won a contract to supply broiler chickens to KFC. But only for Perak and Selangor. So I guess a sign of good things to come. Hopefully they can keep this contract. But the other part which I find interesting is that now that they've controlled all the upstream stuff, the feed mill, the hatcheries production, the farms, they want to go downstream. They also want to provide this kind of franchise model for fried chicken. So they have this new Harumi brand. And I believe the idea is to have some kind of like Ramly Burger stall concept. You know, you see a Ramly Burger stall outside every 7-Eleven. Perhaps that's the idea of a Harumi fried chicken.
So they could be the competitor of their own customer, KFC.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
It's a bit mad, isn't it? But that's how business works.
But really, you know, KFC is not so much street food. And I think this is where they're going, more on the street food side.
Mass market.
There's a lot of these so-called pop-up restaurants and stalls. It's very trendy now. It's very hipster.
It's a lot cheaper to set up as well.
Yeah, it's delicious. Some of them are delicious.
I can see the wheels in your mind turning, John. You're thinking about like a pop-up.
Chinese. I'm Chinese. So that's how we roll.
What are you going to sell? Some char kway teow? Penang char kway teow?
But I think chicken easier.
Well, let's find out from Dato' Alex Ding from DBE Gurney Resources if, in fact, fried chicken is easier, Chong. That's on the breakfast grill today. But back to the news. Kianju Can Factory and Boxpack Managing Director Yeo Jin Ho will launch a takeover of Alcom after buying a 59% stake, according to Starbiz.
So he came out of nowhere and he accumulated about a 60% stake in Alcom, which is a listed company that deals with aluminium products. They make the products are raw material that goes into things like air conditioning, signboards, utensils, building facades and so on. And Kianju itself, whom he now controls, he came out of nowhere and established a majority and powerful stake within Kianju when the Kianju brothers had been fighting all along as to how to deal with the stake that they have.
Right.
One side of the faction wanted to get control over the stake and the other side of the faction wanted to sell their Kianju stake just to come into a lot of cash. And this guy, Yeo, also came out of nowhere and exerted control over the Kianju industrial complex.
Yeah, you know what was really intriguing about the story? Because the acquiring vehicle, Towerpack, is 99% controlled by Yeo and 1% is shared between his two sons. So that made me think, this is how you control your kids so that they don't want to like wait for you to die, the kind of thing, right?
They don't go out there and buy a Ferrari.
Yeah, exactly.
Drive around town.
Correct.
But they're pretty important companies for the economy because
absolutely.
They make all these products that go, they make the cans, right?
Like, this is the kind of stuff that people at Warren Buffett love because the old economy, you can see it, you can feel it, touch it. You know, it's stuff that you can understand. And it's really a bit of a proxy on the consumption economy.
Yeah,
absolutely.
For sure.
You look at Can One, they also make those kind of like cans for Coke bottles and box pack. They make the boxes that pack the consumer products.
Yeah.
So by acquiring Alcom, I think they're just going one step into world domination of packaging, right? In the packaging
world. You can imagine at AGMs, Shell will be asking the board, hey, this one next year can make more profit, and he'll go, can one?
Yeah, I know. I love the name. It's so Malaysian. It's fantastic. Well, let's take a look at some other news. Loop Holdings, which is the license owner of bubble tea chain Char Time Malaysia. Now, they want to open at least 20 additional outlets nationwide under its three-year expansion plan. So they've already partnered with Shell to open Char Time outlets in about 100 Shell petrol stations across the country. So fill up your tank, get some bubble tea.
Well, I think, yeah, exactly. 20 stores at Shell Petrol, but overall, 200 nationwide. So, you know, different. What a difference 1-0 makes. But, you know, this is really, we talk about the slowdown and this and that, but, and I've been to Char Time, it's quite nice, actually. Fills you right up.
It's bubble tea-ish, so it can be anything.
See, I don't play Pokemon Go, but I have a Char Time chocolate drink. It's quite nice.
That's weird. Right.
It's weird.
So my question is, you know, there was a lot of concern that this was just going to be a fad, like Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing where, you know, they say if you build, they will come. Right. So if you park yourself at a high traffic area, consumers will start to buy, because we have so many ways to play the consumer sector, right? We talked about Kanju, Can One, Box Pack, and so on. That's one way to buy upstream consumer. Then there's also the QSRs of the world, KFC and your grill
DBE Resources,
this morning, DBE, and you've got 7-Eleven, Bison. And here is another way to play that demographic that just wanders aimlessly around malls and suddenly falls into a booth of bubble tea. That's the demographic you're aiming at. You can invest into that.
Oh my goodness. So, you know, some person is playing Pokemon Go and trying to catch whatever, and then they wander into chat time. And
exactly.
Why not get a bubble tea while you're waiting?
Both of you are really sad.
Pokemon, no, I'm trying to
really,
think of how
really
I can...
Pokemon is the new QE. This is the thing that is going to churn the economy and drive it around.
I can't believe you
I saw
that
actually. Some analyst, I can't remember your name, mate, but he actually issued a note a few days ago saying
Sunway
REIT is the big...
So I'm going to be talking with Azra. I'm going to be talking to Azra Rahman about that story, because, you know, under the property show, that's one of the biggest news today in the property sector. Just how Pokemon Go is increasing footfall traffic at shopping malls, and the more they linger, the more they buy. Bums on seats, my friend.
Correct. So a week ago, I was in the company of the typical tech geek, and he pointed out that in just three or four months, this one silly game has attracted a 300 million. Global user base. And what kind of engagement can you get when people are up at 4 o'clock in the morning using the app in their cars during traffic? And the engagement rates and the usage is so incredible. There are actually outlets out there who are putting money aside to attract Pokemon players.
Yeah.
It's bad.
It's not that much money, you know, and you can make it all back. So very smart for retailers to think that.
Yeah, exactly.
But Julian, coming back to your world-class comment of Pokemon Go is the new QE.
That's right, absolutely.
To Janet Yellen.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have no proxy to play Pokemon, but we have a proxy into Chartime, which is a proxy for people wandering aimlessly around malls that need a bubble tea as they're doing so. That's the demographic that they're aiming for.
Okay, Singtel has agreed to buy a 21% stake in Thailand's largest telco, InTouch Holdings, and an additional 7.4% stake in India's Bharti Telecom, which is India's largest telco firm by the number of subscribers.
This stake that Temasek is holding used to be called Shin Corp, right? And it was extremely controversial because Thaksin Shinawatra, the ex-prime minister of Thailand, sold that to Temasek. And just before he sold it, as prime minister, he changed the law to avoid capital gains tax on his side and to also sidestep Thai rules on selling strategic assets. So that's how Temasek got their hands onto a stake like this. And today they changed the name for obvious reason to InTouch. And Temasek is now selling this to Singtel.
Yeah, you see, this is why I hang out with Julian Unsan. He knows everything.
I know, it's connecting the dots.
I connect to Wikipedia. That's your
my contribution is the fact that Thaksin used to own Manchester City. That's my contribution.
Fantastic. Thanks for broadening our worldview there, Chuang. All right, looking at China, where the aviation industry is really just going gangbusters, is your favourite term, Chuang. Chinese airlines now need to hire almost 100 pilots a week for the next 20 years to meet the skyrocketing travel demand. Facing a shortage of candidates at home, now the carriers are dangling lucrative pay packages for foreigners with cockpit experience.
Well, 300,000. 300,000 salary is what they're going to pay to a pilot. You know, you go, you visit your relatives and having dinner and they ask you, hey, what airline are you working with? I'm working with Sichuan Airline. Can you imagine earning like 300? It's not Cathay Pacific or the Emirates, but this is Sichuan Airline, right?
Isn't that like a Chinese dish?
Exactly.
Kind of so.
I remember, Tony Fernandez, a few weeks ago, he made a comment about how, you know, China is obviously the big growth market for them. And he said that he was visiting a city called Shentong or something. And he discovered when he was there that it was a city of 8 million people.
That's probably a tier three city. That's right.
China.
That's one third of Malaysia's population.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
if AirAsia can be big in Malaysia, what more in a small city like
Shantou
in China?
Correct. So if you want to make So I think he just made a funny joke. Anyway, so if you're a low-cost airline and you want to get some growth, you know, that China is it. In fact, any airline.
But how can like, you know, the likes of Qingdao Airlines and Sichuan Airline pay you $300,000 a year?
How can they afford it? If you're going to talent pinch from foreign, from Emirates or Cathay or something, you've got to be able to pay them, the sky-high fees salary that they require, right? So can like a small Chinese airline afford that unless they also are growing gangbusters enough to be able to afford it?
Well, the whole of China is actually being fueled by this huge amount of debt that no one really knows how much it has ballooned to, right? I mean, we've got official figures, something to the order of, 200% of GDP or something. But that's what we know. What about the rest that we don't know? And how are these airlines held anyway? Are they held by SOEs? Are they held by private enterprises? We don't know.
So, okay, Dave Ross, a Las Vegas-based president of Wasik International, who does recruiting for airlines. Now, whenever he goes to China and speaks to these airlines, he asks, how many pilots do you need? They say, oh, we can take as many as you can bring. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, I mean, 100 pilots a week for the next 20 years.
Amazing.
That's as good as many as you can give them. They will take it.
Okay, let's take a look at Uber planning to let some customers in Pittsburgh summon rides from autonomous vehicles as soon as this month. So they're going to put the Volvo XC90 SUV and Ford Focus cars on the road in the city.
I don't know. Is it too soon? Would you dare go into an Uber driverless car and to take you around?
What about this, John? I'm sure you have thoughts because this was a topic that you wanted to discuss this morning.
Yeah,
right?
I don't actually think it's going to be technically like that because you'll still have a person there manning the vehicle in case it actually, you know, goes awry. But this is the first salvo, isn't it? I mean, this is basically a test pilot. And when you look at the two vehicles on offer, the Volvo XC90 and the Ford Focus, those actually have a lot of autonomous technology in them already. I mean, you can... I think in Malaysia, the Ford Focus is marketed as the car which parks itself. You know what I mean?
A few years ago.
Correct.
Yeah. Now it drives itself.
Yeah. And after that, they'll be serving you coffee and tea. This is the start of it.
But would you go into one?
Yeah,
so if you
went
to Pittsburgh, would you hail an autonomous cab?
If I was going from Lot 10 to KLCC, why not, right? Because it's all about, you know, it's all about the motion sensors and proximity sensors. But from there to Ipoh, maybe not.
What about you, Jules?
I don't know. I think I'll wait a while. And perhaps sometimes it's nice to go into Grab or Uber and have a chat with the driver. You know, it's really
some good
conversations
sometimes.
Coming out of there.
Yeah.
Whereas in a driverless car, all you can talk to is Siri and, you know,
you can have a lot
Google.
Of fun with Siri, you know. You can
ask I don't think it's quite the same as
actually,
talking to a driver.
Actually, there will be drivers. So how it would work is that two Uber employees will sit in the front seats of the self-driving SUVs and to pick up passengers. One person will have his or her hands on the wheel as an emergency backup, and the other will observe the passengers from the passenger side.
Well, this is a precursor.
This is like double backup.
This is just a temporary situation, right? It's a precursor. So I'm just wondering what the future is for Uber and Grab drivers and all these ride-sharing drivers when they can be replaced by a machine.
Fantastic. Okay, well, let me tell you very quickly who's coming up on the Breakfast Grill. Dr. Alex Ding, Group Managing Director of the Integrated Poultry Farming Company, DBE Gurney Resources. That's after the 8 o'clock news with Audrey Raj on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.